Good evening. Welcome to Digging Deeper on this Saturday evening in June, the first one. And we are a ministry of Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia. And we're so thankful that you've taken the time to once again tune in and join us as we continue to seek to be rooted and grounded in Christ by exploring the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And as always, we're going to begin with the Bible because the Bible is the God's inspired word to man, and when it comes to Christianity, everything rises and falls on what we believe about the Bible, God's holy word. And tonight we're going to come to the seventh message in our journey to discovering the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And tonight God is going to be talking to us about sin. And while sin may not be an exciting subject, it is something we need to understand, because how we view and how we react to sin will make a difference for all eternity. And so we're going to get started. I'm going to be reading tonight from a passage of the Bible that pretty much covers sin. And I'm going to be reading from specifically the book of Isaiah tonight, the 59th chapter, the first 8 verses. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there now. And if you do not have a Bible and you would like to have a Bible, please call or email us here at the church and we will send one to you. Now, family and friends, if you're not familiar with sin, the passage I'm about to read describes it well. For this passage contains murder, filth, lies, corruption, unfairness, dishonesty, evil deeds, violence, destruction, no peace, and injustice. All of these words are used to describe sin. So again, Isaiah chapter 59, beginning in verse 1, this is what Isaiah says unto us. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Would you bow your head with me in prayer? Oh Lord, tonight as we come to you, certainly as we read those words, Father, it describes much of the lives of human beings today in this world. Lord, tonight we may be speaking to someone in a prison cell or in a hospital or right at home. Someone who only knows a life of no peace because they are wrapped up in this world's sin. Lord, tonight we pray that you would speak to us. And for those of us who've been saved from sin, we pray, Father, that this passage would remind us of how thankful we can be for the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Father, we ask your word, as always, to not go out void, but Lord, send it to the one to whom needs to hear it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is sin? Some folks define it as missing the mark, but friend, that's too broad, because it doesn't speak of our need to conform to God's will, to conform to God's word. So then this becomes, for us, the better definition. Sin is any failure to conform to the moral law of God in act, attitude, or nature. God is our creator. God is the creator of everything, universe, people, animals, and morality. And the Bible tells us that God is eternally good. There is nothing about God that is not good, nothing about God that is not right. Since God is the Creator and is always good and is always right, His Word, He's given us His Word, and Peter wrote this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. And so, we can see in His Word then the proper way to live as His creation. When we fail to live according to God's Word, we sin. And God hates sin because it goes against everything that He is. Friend, are you aware that we can sin in one of three ways? First of all, we can sin by our actions, because God has said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. When we murder someone, we sin. When we commit adultery, we sin. When we steal something, we sin. When we lie, we sin. But listen, we don't just sin with our actions. There's a second way that we sin, and that is by our attitudes. God has said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Do you want to know what coveting is? Coveting is wanting something that's not yours. Coveting is, it's a desire in our heart to want somebody else's stuff, somebody else's things. We might not actually take it, but in our hearts we look at it and we want it. Now somebody might be thinking, I don't want to sin by action or attitude. I don't want to do what God says I'm not supposed to do. So why do I do the things that I do not want to do? Well, that's a good question. That's a fair question. In fact, you're not alone in wrestling with that question. The Apostle Paul wrestled with it. He said, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate to do, that I do. Now, God answers the question for us and for Paul. In fact, God had Paul write it down for us in his letter to the church at Ephesus. Paul wrote, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. And what God is telling us is that we sin, thirdly, because, you see, it's our nature. We are inclined to do what is against God. So where does this sin and this inclination to sin against God come from? Well, it doesn't come from God. Sin is a complete contradiction to who God is. He cannot sin, and He cannot be blamed for sin. James wrote, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. Moses wrote in the book of Deuteronomy, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are justice, a God of truth, and without injustice, righteousness and uprightness is He. Well, if God is good and doesn't cause sin, why does He let it happen? And again, God answers that question. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Now, the inheritance, you see, that we obtained is the inheritance of free will. God gave his creation, you and I, all of his creation, the angels in heaven, and you and I here on earth, the freedom of choice. And because of that inheritance, we can say that God decided he would let his creatures willfully and voluntarily choose whether or not to sin. We can't really fully understand this, but God is good, and so he lets sin happen. Sin still exists, and it will exist. It has existed. Since Satan fell upon Adam and Eve, and they fell in the garden, and sin entered our world when Adam and Eve fell. Listen to what God told Adam. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And so you see, God gave Adam and Eve a choice to obey God or not to obey God. It's the same choice you and I have every day of our lives. And we know what happened because the Bible says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Because of Adam and Eve, all humans inherit a sinful nature. Paul wrote, "Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but to how to perform what is good, I do not find." And if you and I are honest tonight before God, we can say the same thing about ourselves. The prophet Jeremiah gives us the reason why that's so about us. He said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And so you see, that's our problem. We don't even know our own hearts. And that's why we can have the best of intentions, and we can still fall short. Let me tell you, Randy Travis wrote a song entitled, years ago, "The Road to Hell is Paved with Good Intentions." And I'm certain all of us know the truth of that all too well. David wrote in Psalm 51, his great psalm of repentance, after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, he wrote, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now don't get the idea David was blaming his mother, as men do today when they claim it's not my fault. Men like to claim today, "Well, it was my mama or my daddy. They made me the way I am." That's not what David is doing here. He is just poetically and truthfully recounting that since Adam brought sin into the world, all of us are now sinners. And the Bible says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." And we all know what it's like to sin. Now, friend, the sad thing about sin is that sin affects everything about us. Sin affects our intellect. It affects our emotions. It affects our desires. It affects our heart. It affects our goals. It affects our motives. It affects our bodies. We may not be as bad as we could be, but we can't ever be good enough to please God and make up for the sins we've already committed. You see, the Bible says, "But we all are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Sin causes us all to stand guilty before God. The psalmist wrote, "They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Paul picked up on that and he wrote, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." John wrote, 1 John 1:8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." The penalty for sin is death, because God said so. He says, "For the wages of sin is death." And so, Have you ever wondered why you didn't die after you committed your first sin? If the penalty is death, then why didn't I die? Does God not keep his word? Did I get away with something? Did I pull the wool over God's eyes? Will God not do what he has said? Well, friend, of course God's going to do what he has said. And only a fool would claim that God would not do what he has said. But God answers that question for us as well. You see, the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so please understand, your sin has earned you death. Death is what awaits you, but God desires to give you and I an opportunity for a second chance. And the chance God gives you is the chance to repent of your sin, the chance to turn away from your sin, so that God can save you from the penalty of sin, and the penalty of sin is death. Now, as you listen tonight on Living Faith Television, perhaps you've never thought about it that way before. So let me be perfectly honest with you. Friend, if you choose not to repent of your sin, you're going to die. You're like a dead man walking. You're going to spend eternity in hell because you chose not to repent of your sin. You're going to spend eternity there because, you see, the soul never dies. And you're going to spend eternity in hell. Let me tell you, hell is not going to be the party like a party land like unrepentant sinners boast about today. The Bible said hell is going to be a fearfully dark place. A place Jesus described as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place where the worm never dies, the fire never goes out. It's a place of utter torment. And you see, God wants you to save you from that place by giving you a second chance. God can. God desires, God wants to forgive you of your sin. But in order for God to be able to do that, you have got to be willing to repent of your sin and to place your faith and trust in the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's your choice. But you need to understand, if you refuse his offer, then you need to understand that unless you repent, you will likewise perish. That's what the Bible says. Repent and be saved, because, my friend, you do not know if you will have another chance. No man knows the day or the hour of his death. You and I do not know when our time on earth will be up. That's why God says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but today. Today is the day of salvation. It's not by accident that you're hearing this message on Living Faith, friend. This has been a divine appointment for you tonight. God is calling out to you tonight. You're listening tonight. You're hearing the Word of God, and God is saying to you, today is the day of salvation. God's promise for us is seen in these words, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might grace reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And because this is true, the lost man or the lost woman tonight can choose for salvation. You can choose to repent of your sin, to get out of your sin, to move away from your sin and to turn to God. The Bible says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now I want you to know something else. Lost man or lost woman, sin affects Christians too. Now listen, it doesn't change our standing with God, because God's not going to take back his forgiveness. When God forgives, he forgives completely. The Bible says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." And John wrote, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We're still forgiven. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died to pay for all of our sin in the past, all of our sin in the present, all of our sin in the future. When a Christian sins, they break fellowship with God. When the Christian sins, they grieve the heart of God. And God doesn't let Christians get by with sin. God doesn't let Christians get away with sin. The Bible teaches that God disciplines those he loves. And the Bible tells us, Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 6, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son he receives. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." The Christian sin affects more than their relationship with God. It also affects their relationship with others. And I'm certain every one of us can point to some sin that affected our relationship with another person. You see, all we need to do is think about the things that have happened. And so if you claim salvation in Jesus, there should not be a pattern of greater and greater sin. No one can go on willfully sinning, doing the things they know that God hates, and be a Christian. Have you truly repented? The Bible says, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin." In other words, he doesn't keep doing it over and over. "For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God." And God is speaking the truth in love to us here. God is saying that His child will not go on willfully living a life of sin. In fact, he cannot, because it is no longer in him to do so. And we all remember the story of the prodigal son who went off into the far country, wasted his substance in riotous living. While he was living in that far country, he lived like a heathen. But the Bible says there came a point in his life when he came to himself and he said, "I'm going home." When he came to himself, when he became aware of, when he became convinced of, when he became convicted of his sin, he dealt with it quickly and he put it behind him. Friend, that's what repentance is. Turning away from sin, putting sin behind you. You see, the prodigal son in Luke 15 is an example for us of the words, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, sin, again, is any failure to conform to the moral law of God in act, attitude, or nature. And there isn't a soul listening here tonight who hasn't failed. Friend, we've all failed. Each and every person, myself included, each and every person listening, we all deserve death. It's what our sins have earned us. But thanks be to God, God desires to save us, not destroy us. He desires to give us life rather than allow us to experience death. And so tonight we have a choice. We can choose to live by repenting of our sin and asking God to forgive us. Or we can choose to die tonight by rejecting God's grace, God's mercy that he poured out upon us at the cross of Christ. If I can assure you of this, the need to repent never goes away, whether we're lost or whether we're saved. The only difference is the lost man does not have salvation. And the Christian has salvation, but he's lost his fellowship with God. And both need to repent in order that they might truly live. Well, what will you choose to do tonight? If you will choose to repent of your sin and be saved tonight, simply bow your head and sincerely pray from your heart this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Father, I ask you to come into my life tonight to be my Lord and my Savior. Father, please forgive me. I repent of my sin. Would you grace me with the gift of eternal life? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer tonight, sincerely from your heart, I want to assure you, you're saved. And if you're a Christian who's strayed, your sin has put a roadblock between you and your God, and until you confess it, God cannot draw near to you again. Remember 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is his promise to all those who are in Christ. Now, if you've made a decision tonight, either to pray to receive Christ as your Savior for the very first time, you write, let us know of your decision so we can get materials into your hands. There's a phone number and email address there on your screen. Let us know. You are important to God. He gave his son to save your soul. And if you're important to God, that means you are important to us here at Green Valley. We want to be able to help you in your walk with Christ. We want to be able to be of service to you. Tonight I want to thank you for watching our ministry, for staying with us through this message, and let us go to prayer as we close. And now may the God of all mercy and grace make his face to shine upon you now and forevermore. In his name we pray. Amen.